Community and Regional Affairs meeting to order at this time at 3:45 on Tuesday, March 27th. Present, we have Senator Albert Kukish and myself, Senator Olson. Today, we're going to look at Senate Bill 128, which has to do with the sale of alcohol to residents of rural communities, as well as the transfer of borough liquor licenses to a city within the borough borders. We've got a CS in front of us that was drafted, and so I'd like to hear a motion to adopt the...
Well, until we get a quorum, we can't have a motion, so...
Okay.
Let's just, for the purpose of the record, say we're going to work off this particular draft.
Off the...
No, the new draft. You can still work off of it. You just can't put it properly before us.
Okay. So with that, we'll go ahead and work off the new draft. With that, we've got Ginny Osterman, who's my staff, that's going to be presenting the bill. And joining us is Senator Joe Thomas. And with that, I'd like to go ahead and hear a motion to adopt this work draft CS for Senate Bill 128.
I move and ask unanimous consent.
Do you have a second for that?
That's okay.
Need a second? I'll second.
Okay. Okay, the motion has been made and seconded. Hearing no objection, we'll now have the CS in front of us, Ms. Osterman.
Thank you. This is Senate Bill 128 by Senator Donald Olson.
Excuse me. Could just for the record clarify, CS with slash dash C, is it? Or
C is what I have.
Yes, that's correct.
The version number is 25-LS0742/C.
C, thank you.
Yes.
An act relating to the sale, distribution, and purchase of alcoholic beverages relating to a state database for records of certain alcoholic purchases of alcoholic beverages relating to procedures for local option elections for control of alcoholic beverages and providing for an effective date. Alaska, along with many other states, finds itself in the position of needing to protect residents of rural communities from bootleggers of alcohol. Various alcohol abuse educational programs have been in place in rural Alaska for a number of years, but they have not served to halt the illegal importation and sale of alcohol to Alaska's rural communities. SB 128 curbs bootlegging by allowing the Alcoholic Beverage Control ABC Board, at the request of the communities of Bethel and Kotzebue, to establish pilot alcohol delivery sites. If open, these sites would operate for a period of 3 years. Senate Bill 128 is aimed at preventing bootleggers from ordering alcohol from numerous package stores in violation of the local option. Alcohol local option provisions require that the ABC Board, in conjunction with package store licensees, create and maintain a database documenting the sale, distribution, and purchase of alcoholic beverages ordered in writing from persons residing in damp local option communities. The bill requires that a package store consult a database before filling a written order from a person residing in the local option area. The database will be available to package store licensees and their agents and employees, law enforcement officers, probation and parole officers, and the ABC Board. Information in the database will not be available to the public. The bill also corrects an inadequacy in state liquor law that hampers the ability of large hub communities to attract investment in family-oriented restaurants. There are now allowances for the transfer of a borough license to a city within the borough's borders in order to meet public demand and promote economic development. And I believe there's a typo there. I think that should say there are no allowances.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Osterman. Is there any questions of the bill sponsor before we go on to those people that want to testify? Today we've got Annie Carpinetti with the Criminal Division of the Department of Law, as well as the Attorney General, and a number of people online, including the state troopers and other people that represent various entities. Any questions of the committee? Otherwise, we'll ask the Attorney General to come on up and have his testimony. We want to make sure that we've got, or let people know that we have a letter here from the Tanana Chiefs Conference in support of Senate Bill 128 that's signed by Jerry Isaacs, the President of Tanana Chiefs. Mr. Attorney General, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Committee. I'm Talas Kohlberg, and I am the Attorney General Designee, and I'm here to testify in the capacity that I serve as the co-chairman of the Alaska Rural Justice Commission. And although I've only been on the commission for 3 months, there has been a lot of work that preceded my appointment. For the last 2 years, the commission had been focusing on four areas of concern in rural Alaska, and alcohol interdiction was one of the primary focus areas. In the course of that two-year period, they formed working groups, took testimony from areas across the state, and came up with about 100 action options for this particular set of issues. And in the course of working in specific work groups, they came up with a legislation before you today, which is meant to enhance local option activities to interdict alcohol in rural Alaska, involving a establishment of a statewide database to track shipments of alcohol, modifications to forfeiture, and restrictions in shipments to damp communities through delivery sites. The bills before you basically involves methods of working with package store licensees to create and maintain a database, prohibiting package stores from shipping alcohol in response to written orders from a person residing in a local option area in order to maintain a systematic control over the areas, correct omissions in state law that do not allow for transfer of liquor licenses in large hub communities, prohibiting persons from purchasing alcoholic beverages in local option areas from another person who's selling alcohol in violation of the local option, and addressing other provisions in the law to try to enhance the ability of local communities to better serve the local population. So it's today in my capacity as co-chair of the commission that we're presenting this as a final work product. The commission has had some unfortunate circumstances in that we're out of money, and our executive director has been without compensation for 2 months, and so we were very concerned that after a two-year process that we get almost to the brink of some actual accomplishment that we might fall short of it. And so she has actually been working without compensation, that's Karen Bitzer, to try to at least see this through and hopefully see us through to the point where we have some supplemental funding to continue the work of the commission in other areas as well. If there are technical questions, also from the Department of Law, Annie Carpinetti is here, and she's been working on the bill itself. But I'm here to speak on behalf of the commission and endorse the work product of people who have been working with the commission long before I was even on it.
Okay. Are there any questions of the committee of Mr. Attorney General?
No, sir.
No question on the committee.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for coming. Annie Carpinetti from the Criminal Division, Department of Law, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Annie Carpinetti, and I represent the Criminal Division of the Department of Law. Ms. Osterman asked me to give a brief summary of SB 128, and I prepared a summary with the understanding that there would be a time crunch, so it will be pretty short, so please interrupt me with questions if you have them. Sections 1 and 2 of the bill require the ABC board working with licensees to establish a database to record written orders from people who live in communities with a damp local option. Licensees who send alcohol in response to written orders would be required to check the database before fulfilling the written orders to ensure that a person has not made several orders from several different licensees in excess of the amount that is the presumption for possession with intent to sell. This database would really help law enforcement in enforcing the prohibitions on bootlegging. Section 3 of the bill would prohibit a licensee from shipping alcohol to a local option area in response to a written order from a person to any address other than the person ordering the alcohol's address, unless there's a community delivery site in that community, in which case, under current law, they would be required to send the alcohol to the community delivery site. Sections 4 and 5 were added at the request of Senator Green, but it's a issue that has come up before the ABC board several times. There are some communities in our state that there's a city government and a surrounding borough government, and there are licenses available in the borough but not in the city, and in order to encourage economic development and a vibrant downtown area, they want to transfer the license from the surrounding borough to the city government. Sections 4 and 5 would allow that with the approval of the local governing bodies of both the borough and the city.
Senator Thomas has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just so I understand this, because part of the bill is restricting the sale of alcohol, and then this one is expanding the sale of alcohol. So what we're doing with Sections 4 and 5 is allowing, say, in Fairbanks, they have borough licenses and city licenses, and they're not transferable within the other's boundaries. They're in the same boundaries, but within the boundary of the city. That license is not to be sold, I don't believe, outside of the city, and vice versa. A borough license is good in the borough, but not in the city of Fairbanks or the city of North Pole. So this loosens that restriction. It does not increase the number of licenses, yet makes them more adaptable to be used anywhere within the borough, city, or either in the city or the borough, regardless of where they were initially intended for.
Through the chair, Senator Thomas, yes, it does not increase the number of licenses available. It just allows them to a license that has been approved for the population of the surrounding borough to be transferred to the city. But the city government, the local governing body of the city and the borough, must both approve before it would be allowed. So in a sense, it allows for the movement of licenses, but not the expansion of licenses. You couldn't change like a beverage dispensary license to another type of license. It would be a beverage dispensary license from the borough that would be transferred to the city. And my understanding is, and Mr. Peterson is here who might be able to answer more questions. There are several restaurants, family-type restaurants, such as Applebee's, and I believe it's in downtown Wasilla, who would like to add alcohol to their menu, but are unable to do so because although there are licenses available in the surrounding borough, there aren't any more available downtown.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Sure. Sections 6, 7, 11, and 12 actually only really do one thing. They prohibit a person from purchasing alcohol from a bootlegger in violation of a local option. The reason there's so many sections involved is that there are conforming amendments to several of the sections. Right now it's illegal to sell alcohol in violation of a local option, but it's not illegal to purchase alcohol from a bootlegger who has brought it in violation of a local option. This conduct would be a Class A misdemeanor. The bootlegger who was selling the alcohol would be subject to prosecution for a Class C felony. Section 8 extends the time. Are there any questions about that?
No, there isn't.
Section 8 extends the time after a local option election before you could hold another local option election to remove or reduce the level of the option, and that it changes that time period from 12 months to 24 months. It also provides that an election removing or reducing a local option may be only held once in every 36-month period rather than current law, which is once in every 18-month period. Section 9 would prohibit a person from buying alcohol on behalf of a person who lives in a dry local option community. That conduct would be a Class A misdemeanor. Section 10 would prohibit a person living in a dry local option community from possessing ingredients or equipment with the intent to create home brew. Sections 13 and 14 would amend the forfeiture provisions to allow forfeiture of the alcohol that was purchased in violation of a local option. They're really pretty much conforming amendments to allow the state to forfeit that alcohol that has been purchased in violation of a local option. Section 15 allows the ABC board to establish pilot delivery sites in Kotzebue and Bethel if requested to do so by the local governing bodies of Kotzebue or Bethel. And then the final sections are effective date clauses and instructions to the reviser. So that's a brief summary of SB 128. Are there any questions?
Senator Cooker.
I've noticed the words established village has been used throughout the document.
Uh-huh.
What's your definition of an established village?
Well, it's in Title IV, and I can look it up for you. Maybe if If you give me a minute, I could.
No, it's a term of that's already been defined then.
Well, it's a term that's used in our local option law. There, the main statute authorizing local options is found in AS 411-491, and it provides a different set of options. Or they're similar, but a little bit different for municipalities or established villages.
Okay.
And
I'll look it up myself. I just want to make sure it was a.
Yeah, it's a term that's been used by courts and by people enforcing them.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions of the committee? If not, we'll have Darwin Peterson, who's going to present the last part of the bill, the part that's been suggested by Senator Green. Mr. Peterson, please.
Did I make any mistakes when I described it?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Darwin Peterson, staff to Senate President Green. And Ms. Carpinetti's testimony was exactly on point. This sections 4 and 5 were inserted, thanks to the chairman at the request of Senator Green, to accommodate the Fairbanks North Star Borough and the Mat-Su Borough. Those two are the only ones that we've spoken with that have the need right now to transfer existing licenses from borough boundaries to within the city. It does not expand the number of licenses that are currently available. So there's no expansion. There's just more flexibility for the local governing bodies to manage their liquor licenses within their boundaries.
Any questions of the committee of Mr. Peterson? I've got a question. Is there anybody that's opposing these, like the people that are already have established licenses right now, liquor licenses? Are they at all aware of this, and are they opposing it at all?
We haven't received any written communication or phone calls or emails from anybody that has opposed this, and I don't believe your office has either. I haven't been informed. So to my knowledge, there isn't anyone that opposes it at this point.
Okay. Anything outside the borough that this affects, where you're not dealing with a borough situation, because there's a fair amount of unorganized boroughs throughout the state?
Yeah, no, Mr. Chairman, it just affects organized boroughs, and as Ms. Carpinetti said, both governing bodies would have to approve, and the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board would have to approve as well.
And what was the spirit that it was originally put under into law that this provision allows? What was the reason for it being there, or the prohibition being there?
I'm not sure exactly what the history is, but this came to our attention from the city of Wasilla and the mayor's office there when they were trying to expand some of the economic development within the city, but there were no liquor licenses available to do that, and the larger chains like Applebee's and Chili's, they weren't able to set up shop and start business in the city without a liquor license. And even though liquor licenses were available in the borough, they were not allowed by law to be transferred to the city. And as far as the history, I would have to get back to you on that, Mr. Chairman. I'm not sure.
Okay. Any other questions of the committee? Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Then it's a one-way street, though. They can only go from the boroughs into the cities. They can't be from the cities out into the borough.
Now, through the chairman, Senator Thomas, my understanding is it can go either way, as long as both either governing bodies approve. Yes, sir.
Okay. Any further questions of Mr. Peterson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I do have a question of Ms. Carpinetti, if you could. As we look at some of these constitutional issues that are out there, obviously equal protection is a clause that's very important and has been on the forefront, especially with the advisory vote coming on. How do we make sure that those individual civil rights are protected as we start looking at the restriction of merchandise, essentially, across the state of Alaska?
Mr. Chairman, that's a good question. I mean, but it is an issue that has been litigated before, because the local options that are in place now have been upheld by our court system. Yes.
So the defendants have prevailed.
No. I mean, the local options have been upheld by our court system.
Okay. But weren't they the defendants in the litigation?
I'm not sure what, it was the cases probably arose from a prosecution. Okay. Where there was a defendant who may have been a bootlegger, and then that person was the appellant, and we were the respondent. But I'm not sure about which party was which. I could certainly find out for you.
You don't anticipate there's going to be any significant court challenges on a constitutional grounds for this particular legislation?
I could never assure you that there wouldn't be litigation, because anybody could file a lawsuit. But I believe that since we have prevailed in other areas of local option litigation, I believe we would also prevail.
Senator Thomas, please.
Yes, just one more last question. Page 2, lines 9 and 10, that's or, so it's either no more than 10 and one-half liters of distilled spirits, or 24 liters or more of wine, or 12 gallons or more of malt beverages. So they're all three individually looked at, you know, or a combination thereof. You could get so much of one and so much of another, but not to exceed the calculation that would have to be made as to the alcohol content or something, I guess, that exists in those three different types?
Through the chair, Senator Thomas, this is existing law, and I believe you are correct. But we also have online Bill Roach, who is the ABC board investigator, head investigator, has worked for the ABC board for many, many years, and could confirm that. But I believe you're correct.
Okay, that's good. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Carbonetti. If there's no further questions, we'll go on to our next online person. That we have Captain Keith Millard from the Alaska State Troopers. Mr. Millard, please.
I'm here to answer any questions as a topic expert reference bootlegging and rural Alaska.
Mr. Millard, I do have a question for you. How long have you been with the Troopers?
I've been with the Troopers for 11 years.
You've been out in rural Alaska at all?
I have. I was out in Aniak and worked that area, and I currently supervise our Western Alaska Alcohol Enforcement and Narcotics Team.
Any experience with the distribution center up in Barrow?
No experience with the North Slope.
Why would you think that this distribution center would work in Bethel and in Kotzebue, especially since you've been up in Aniak?
Well, it gives you a localized place where you have that local knowledge reference, who in the community actually lives in those communities versus in the outlying or local option communities.
One of the difficulties that's been happening up in Barrow is that there's been a fair amount of at least attempts to go ahead and break into these distribution centers, since they're so visible by people that have got either waiting for their shipment to come on in, and it's been a real problem up there. How do you anticipate on working those kind of problems out?
Well, burglaries are burglaries no matter where you're at, and we would handle it just as if we handled any other burglary.
So you're anticipating the same kind of success rate they had up in Barrow?
I can't speak to success or failure of whatever the North Slope Borough is doing up in Barrow, but talking directly about how we would handle a burglary, we would handle it the same as we would any others.
Okay. Any further questions of Mr. Millard? Okay. The next person online from the ABC board is going to be Bill Roche. Mr. Roche, are you on, please?
Primarily here to answer questions. However, I can say that the question of moving licenses into and out of cities to boroughs and boroughs to cities was presented to the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board at its meeting in February, and that the board did vote to support that.
Okay. Any further comments on the bill?
No, I'd answer any questions you have, but I don't have any other comments.
Senator Thomas, please.
Thank you, Chairman Olsen. Just one question regarding the cabaret, hotel, restaurant folks. Have they commented on that aspect of the bill in particular, since they're all liquor licensees?
Through the chair, not to my knowledge, Senator Thomas.
I'm sure they were probably aware of public notice given when a law such as a liquor law is changed, or the ability for a beverage dispensary place to move in respect as in this bill?
Through the chair, to my knowledge, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Roche, I have got a question that was actually asked by Senator Thomas a few minutes ago. It has to do with the shipment of distilled spirits, wines, and the like. If you're dealing with a cruise ship or some type of boat that's into port and going to be out for a long period of time, how do you go ahead and address some of their recreational needs for alcoholic beverages? Especially since
cruise ships that travel within Alaska waters do in fact have Alaska liquor licenses, and they obtain their alcoholic beverages from Alaska licensed wholesalers, which they provide to their passengers within Alaska waters. That is a very sophisticated business. They have people in the cruise ship industry that know pretty much how much alcohol to take on board, depending on how many passengers they have. There's all kinds of formulas for that.
So you don't anticipate any problems with an icebreaker that heads off for the Northwest Passage and gets stuck in the ice between Kotzebue and Barrow, puts into Kotzebue to refill its needs, and is going to be out there for an extended period of time going across the far north of Canada and needing to go ahead and refill their refreshment?
Mr. Chair, all I can say is that I've been with the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board since 1979, and to my memory, such a situation has never occurred.
Okay, thank you very much. Any further questions, Mr. Roche? Okay, we'll go ahead and move on to Loretta Bullard, who's the president of Quarick there. No, Ms. Bullard, are you on?
Yes, I am.
Do you go ahead and state your name for the record and give us your testimony, please?
Sure. Good afternoon. This is Loretta Bullard. I'm president of Quarick, which is the regional nonprofit consortium providing services throughout the Bering Straits region. We provide pretty much all services but health. I also serve on the Alaska Rural Justice and Law Enforcement Commission representing village public safety officer contractors in the state. Alcohol and substance abuse is the nucleus around which many of rural Alaska's social problems revolve. Alcohol is a contributing factor in many, if not the majority, of suicides, homicides, child sexual abuse and physical neglect, domestic violence situations, and accidental deaths and injuries in rural Alaska. It is a 100% factor in children diagnosed to be FAS and FAE. I estimate, going out to Anvil Mountain Correctional Center, that 90% of the inmates incarcerated there are serving time for offenses conducted under the influence of alcohol, for consuming alcohol while on probation, or for importing or brewing alcohol in violation of local option laws. Alcohol abuse has a huge impact on Alaska families and on the state situation. I was just looking at a report here today which shows that the increase in the correctional system expenditures between, I think it was 1984 and 2006, and just the increase in correctional system expenditures has been huge. I think it was 150 or 160% increase. I'm testifying today in support of Senate Bill 128. Many of the provisions contained in Senate Bill 128 are practical solutions that were developed as part of the Rural Justice and Law Enforcement Work Group process. Provisions contained in the bill would help curtail the importation of alcohol into communities that have opted to be dry or damp under Alaska statutes by creating a statewide database that will enable package store outlets to confirm that duplicate shipments are not being shipped to any particular individual. In violation of the limits imposed by law, it would require that alcohol shipments only be shipped to a purchaser's home address. This would prevent alcohol from being shipped to a nearby damp or wet community and then subsequently being imported into dry communities in violation of local option law. We see that happen, I think, quite a bit, certainly here in the Bering Straits region, where we have communities that are wet, alcohol being flown in volume into the wet communities, and then individuals from dry communities traveling by snow machine or boat to pick up the alcohol and return to the damp dry communities. And then it would also provide the opportunity for Bethel and Kotzebue to set up alcohol beverage delivery site projects. As we understand it, Barrow established such a site a number of years ago, which has proven to be a huge success in controlling the amount and delivery of alcoholic beverages into their community. I'm not speaking to the city and borough transfer of liquor license issues, since that's not something that the commission discussed or made recommendations on. I do support the language that would limit the ability of a community to remove a local option or change to a less restricted option. The recommendations in Senate Bill 128 primarily address the supply side of the issue. I would encourage the Alaska Legislature to also make additional funds available to address the demand for and treatment of alcohol and substance abuse. I have forwarded a copy of my written testimony to Dave Gray of Senator Olson's office and asked him to make that available to the members of the committee. Attached to that is a list of other options that had been developed by the Rural Justice and Law Enforcement Commission's alcohol work group. And basically in Senate Bill 128, I think it's addressing recommendations 14 and 16, and there's a whole lot of other recommendations that I think have yet to be developed, and I just wanted to make sure that the committee knew that there were many more ideas that are being considered by the Rural Justice and Law Enforcement Commission for recommendation to the Alaska Legislature. You know, early intervention and prevention being one of those recommendations. As the Attorney General mentioned, the Rural Justice and Law Enforcement Commission is out of money. They got stuck in the federal government continuing resolution, no earmarks policy. And I know that the commission had submitted a request to the Alaska Legislature asking for stopgap funding for the commission. And I just wanted to also support the legislature to make funds available to the commission to continue their work. And thank you for this opportunity to testify.
Okay, any questions, Ms. Bullard, by the members of the committee? Ms. Bullard, I do have one question for you. Bootlegging has been something that's been going on before statehood was around, and even before that. What makes you think that this amount of legislation is going to go ahead and even help with some of the problems that are out there?
Well, right now I don't think there's any control on the amounts of liquor that people can import into damn communities. I mean, you know, I can remember, and I'm sure, Donnie, you know this too, that, you know, there's volumes, plane loads of liquor that, for instance, goes into the wet communities here in the Bering Straits region, and I'm sure that there's duplicative orders now taking place. And I think that we all know that there's, for example, there's alcohol runs between communities. You're aware of that.
Okay. Any further
questions? I think it would be a step in the right direction.
Okay. Any further questions of the of Ms. Bullard? Thank you very much for testifying this afternoon. We also have Casey Reynolds from the Matsu Borough. Mr. Reynolds, are you on?
I am on. Actually, Mayor Keller is here from the city of Wasilla, and I'd prefer if she spoke for the city on this.
Okay. Mayor Keller, are you on?
Hi, this is Diane Keller. I'm the mayor for the city of Wasilla, and I just have a few items that I'd like to go over and then would be happy to take any questions that you may have. Just to inform you that the city of Wasilla is approximately 8,000 people, and our community is growing rapidly, and we do serve an area population of approximately 80,000 people in the Matsu Borough. We are expecting approximately an additional 1.2 million square feet of retail space by 2009 in our community, with some high-end developments that restaurants will want to locate in and around that mega development. And we've been approached by several restaurants, both chain and local, requesting assistance to help them see what we can do to assist them with getting liquor licenses that they could use while they were serving food. Restaurants usually need city services such as sewer, water, and also a beverage dispensary license, not the beer and wine license, to locate within the city limits. Currently, we have three beverage dispensary licenses available for restaurants to purchase, and that's to serve, again, the 80,000 population, and these three are currently being used by businesses in Wasilla. The city would have to grow to approximately 24,000 people before we would be considered to get an additional beverage dispensary license, and the value of those licenses has shot up to the mid-six figures, making them very costly or too costly for the restaurants we've been speaking with, says that they cannot afford to purchase them and start up their business. And we have talked to about this issue at the council table, so our community is aware that we are working on this, and the council has directed administration to see what we can do to work with the state to work through this issue. And we believe that by allowing those licenses that are currently unused in the borough, we're asking not for them to be an additional bar, but we would like to have just the ability for a family to go out and have a mixed drink with their dinner while they would be consuming food. So we think that this is not going to prohibit mass consumption of alcohol. It would just make for a pleasant environment for a family to have dinner.
Any questions of Mayor Keller? I guess one of the questions that I have is that why, if you're trying to go ahead and keep the cost of the liquor licenses down, why not have more liquor licenses issued?
Because we feel that we don't know that we need more liquor licenses to be available. We just need to be able to use the ones that are currently out there in a little bit different way.
And there's no way for the dormant liquor licenses to be rendered obsolete by some expiration date?
I'm not sure that I understand your question.
Well, it's my understanding that what's driving the pressure of the liquor licenses up is the lack of the numbers out there, so the market is driving up. Is that not correct?
No, we have liquor licenses available. We just can't bring them into the city because it's a population-based program.
Oh, I see. Okay. And is there anybody out there opposing the latter section that was described by Darwin Peterson?
I have talked to two of the business owners that currently hold that license, and they were not opposed to it. There was one of the business owners that did call me and ask me questions, and I asked them if they were opposed to it, and they said that they had not made their mind up. So I can't speak for them, and I did encourage them to contact us, and we would keep them abreast as to what was going on in the process.
So there's no active opposition?
To the best of my knowledge, there is no active opposition. Yes, sir.
Mayor Keller, thank you very much for testifying this afternoon. We also have Tim Wood. Is he there just to answer questions or support staff that you have?
Oh, Tim Wood. Yeah. Hi, this is Jim Wood.
Go ahead with your testimony, if you would, please.
Okay, go ahead. No, you can talk. Can I talk?
Yeah. No, talk into the
handset. It's not on. Is the handset on? Can you hear this?
Oh, you're coming in loud and clear.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this is Jim Wood. I'm with Meritage Development Group. I'm a senior vice president, and we are currently, we have two developments we're putting in the city of Wasilla that total about 400,000 foot of retail each. They're $80 million developments each, so about $160 million we'll be putting in the community. And we have major retailers we're working with at this point, and also restaurants. And as Applebee's has been mentioned, we have a contract with Applebee's contingent upon them, their ability to get a liquor license. They've already got earnest money down and gone hard. We have been talking to the, you know, Red Robin, TGI Fridays, and that, and you have many restaurants like that would like to come to the city and come to this retail development. It's kind of a one-of-a-kind development. It's not a strip center. It's more of what you'd call a lifestyle center that hasn't been done in Alaska yet, and the restaurants are a good addition to this center, but we can't get them because they cannot achieve the ability to get a liquor license.
Any questions by the committee of Mr. Wood? If not, thank you very much for coming out this afternoon, Mr. Wood. We also have Jim Stevens from Broman Development. Are you on, Mr. Stevens?
Yes, I'm on.
Go ahead with your testimony.
Okay, thank you. My name is Jim Stevens. I'm the leasing manager for Broman Development Company. We're a shopping center development company, and we're also working on a development in Wasilla, the redevelopment of the Cottonwood Creek Mall. I'm in a very similar position as Jim Wood. You know, we'd love to have a sit-down restaurant as part of our other anchors and junior anchors that we're working with for this development, but we just can't attract them until this liquor license issue is resolved. You know, restaurants have tremendous costs that they already incur for the large pieces of land they have to take down for their large parking fields, all the restaurant improvements, the the heavy cost of operating a restaurant, and then to add the exorbitant cost of the liquor licenses that you might find available in Wasilla, it's just totally cost prohibitive. So I think the ability to bring some borough licenses into the city is really going to just follow the market. You know, I think the mayor said it perfectly clear. The trade area for Wasilla is 80,000 people, but you only have enough liquor licenses for 8,000 people. So I think this really just allows us to follow the market and put the liquor licenses where they're best served. Thank you. Happy to answer any questions.
Any questions of the committee for Mr. Stevens? Okay, anybody else online that's wanting to testify? Anybody from the audience that wants to come forth and testify? With that, we'll close public testimony on this bill. Do we have anything else from the committee that want to ask the Department of Law?
I don't.
It's interesting.
No.
I'd like to go ahead and move this bill out today. So if we could have a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we move Senate Bill 128 to next committee referral with individual recommendations on task zero fiscal note.
Any opposed? Any objection? With that, we'll move Senate Bill 128 out. And we will not have a meeting on Thursday. Thank you very much. This meeting is adjourned.